Hi, this is Shantae with Soul Care University, and you're listening to Soul Time Talks, a podcast that focuses on folk wisdom and folk healing in its many variations. I'm the founder of the Sacred Healers Program, a women's initiation and shamanic training program. I started talking with other light workers and folk healers so I could give my apprentices a wide variety to see what folk healing was happening and how it was showing up on the planet. Turns out, I love the conversations. They were juicy, full of stories and lore and journeys of healing. I had to share this with everyone. And that's how Soul Time Talks was born. So thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. This is Shantae with Soul Time Talks, and I have my soul sister here from LA, and we are talking. It is a whopping 8 a.m. her time and 11 o'clock my time, so I have had plenty of time to wake up as she is just opening her eyes, but I am so happy to have Tanita here. Tanita, say your last name.
My last name, Fajeola is the name, my last name I use.
Thank you. Fajeola. Yeah. I was like, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that. So I asked you. So Tanita is, I've known Tanita for quite many years, met her in many different facets before getting into her dance classes and her healing ministry is what I'll just call it. So Tanita is and has been teaching dance and fitness since 1990. I was 20 in 1990. And she is trained professionally in jazz, modern, tap, ballet, hip hop, and theater. She has studies and is most passionate about African and Afro-Caribbean dance culture and folklore. Like I said, she is based out in LA. And she's taught and performed and choreographed throughout the United States and internationally. Ghana, England, Mexico, Scotland, Senegal, Mexico, South Africa, and Hong Kong. I did not know you were in so many different places. That's pretty cool. So welcome to Soul Time.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
So Tanita and I, we met when our kids were just little wee ones, and they were going to a day school together. But what's interesting is that I met her, I don't know if you remember, I met you way before I had even thought about children.
I was going to say, I think we met before children.
Yes.
At Pace at that time.
I was at Pace. No, this was even pre, before it might have been pre-Pace. Okay. So it, when I was like, 1990, I used to go to a cultural school of dance and take dance classes, African dance classes there.
Okay.
And that is where I first met you. You were one of the sub-teachers that came in. And I was like, who is this crazy woman making me do all this high energy stuff? And I could barely keep up. But I remembered you. And then when I saw you again at the day school, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember you.
Yeah, I was wee young then. I was like fresh out of college.
Yes.
When I got to Orlando, I had just graduated from college maybe a year before that.
Wow.
I was a baby. That was 90. I just got married. I don't even know if I was married when I was you guys. I think I had just gotten married or something like that. And that's funny because I was literally probably about 22 at the most.
Wow. Yeah. That is when I first was introduced to how you moved your body. It was really just, it hurt, but it felt really good. And I loved my African dance classes. And I think I was there for a couple of years just dancing more for fun. But then it kind of moved on to and start going to your other classes when you were at the Y, and then you were at different community centers. Right. And I always just found you when you were here in Orlando and just stayed connected. So I'm glad that the connection continues, even though you're on the other side. the United States. And so I'm really happy to just unpack this conversation about how dance is medicine and dance as a revolution. I'm really excited to learn your story. So let's start with, like, take us on a journey with the evolution of your dance.
Wow. Okay. Because then I got to go back another 20 years from the time you met me. I was very, very young, very young. I want to say I came out dancing. That's what I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I want to say I did.
Yeah.
There's no story there. My mom didn't say, like, girl, you came out dancing. I just feel like I had to have come out dancing because I don't remember any time in my life that I wasn't dancing. So I remember just at the very young age of four going to dance my little, you know, first ballet classes. And part of it was because what I found out later from my aunt that she had ushered my mom to go take us to ballet classes in particular because I was very, very bow-legged as a child. And I mean, almost to the point where they wanted to have surgery. They were telling my mom I needed this, I needed that. And so my aunt would turn me upside down and just flatten my legs out.
Wow.
She, my aunt, was a gymnast. She was one of our, like, big mama aunts. And she would, my aunt Bert, she would, you know, stretch my legs out, do my fold my feet out. And she's like, just put them in dance class. Just put them in ballet. It'll, you know, stretch them out. And we went to ballet. We were like the two, only two, me and my sister, black girls in the class. This is, you know, back in the early, late 70s, early 80s. And who, you know, that wasn't happening. It was very awkward, lonely. But I remember once I got on the dance floor, not caring about the little white girls with blonde hair and any or anybody talking about our feet and our butts and our, because they would talk about us pretty bad. And, you know, just feeling ostracized. But I remember as soon as I got on the dance floor, all of that went away. All of that would go away. And so that was my first lesson in, I would guess, say, move dance healing. Like, it literally healed the wounds of early, early childhood racism. And just also feeling not just racism, but also feeling just ostracized, you know, not, you know, not feeling a part of the rest of this world. Why were we so different? I didn't, you know, still hadn't understood that yet. What's happening in the world. So, you know, fast forward, my mother couldn't afford to sustain it. That, you know, class debts for my mom was very expensive. So we stopped going, but my legs did start to straighten out. And I did end up having to wear like orthopedic shoes, but that was like the most of it. I didn't have to get my legs broken and all this other nonsense. And, and so and I think that when I watch movies like Forrest Gump or, you know, some movie where they show something dramatic with some child's legs and with braces, I'm like, oh my God, I would have been black and this, having all that going on and that. God, that just would have been traumatizing as a child. So again, another reason to thank God for dance. So yeah, moving along, even though we were out of dance class, it stuck with me. I woke up dancing. I dreamed about dancing. I danced when I would make my sisters put their legs up on the banisters, and I was the teacher. You know, we watched every little girl. I don't know any black children my age that didn't watch Fame, Debbie Allen on TV.
Like, yes, I watched
it. I was Debbie Allen, Fame across the house, telling my sisters what to do, how to do this, this, that. And just, you know, I was just obsessed. I would sneak and watch Darcel from Solid Gold because my mom didn't want us to watch it too much because she thought it was too sensual for kids our age. It probably was, but who cared? I didn't think about sex and sensuality so much as I was thinking about who is this black woman on TV dancing so amazing and looking so sultry and so beautiful. And so I would cut up my leotards and put stockings on my head and wrap it around and dance on the table. And my mother cut up another something around here, you know.
I love it.
Yes. So I have to come back to that because Darcelle was like, when I tell you we ran to watch that show every week, it was like, I mean, I would run and be like, Solid Gold's coming on.
Yes.
So that was just mesmerizing. So I'm going to come back to that because that's part of my, you know, my evolution. Fast forward now. I needed a dance school. Where was I going to go to school? They had it at my middle school for a little bit. And then where's my dance? So I had all these little snippets of dance school here and there, but not, you know, now I was out of one. I was going through a lot of trauma, a lot of trauma. I was suffering from, or trying to figure out what to do with, you know, abuse, sexual abuse. And I know I need it. I knew I needed it. So, you know, it's interesting because as I think about it right now, I didn't pray for my abusers to stop abusing me. I didn't pray for my stepfather or my, you know, any of the people that were abusing me. I didn't pray for them to stop abusing me, but I prayed for a dance school. You know, as I think about it, I that's what I prayed for. So I was praying for healing. I didn't know that at the time, but
yes.
I prayed for specifically a dance school that had dance and movement and performing arts and everything I get my hands to. I knew I needed a sanctuary. And I specifically said there were different, you know, abandoned buildings. I'm from Philadelphia, different abandoned buildings around. And I just like, just put one here. Just put one close. I need one at the corner of the block. I need one I can walk to. I just get to in the jiffy. Please, I was just praying for it. I got up one day. I was walking over to my aunt's house. And I looked up at this building on the corner of my block. And the sign said, Point Breeze Performing Arts Center, community. Performing arts, dance, music, drama.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, you did it! You know, looking up at the sky like, thank you! And I remember just skipping around the corner like, oh my God, oh my gosh, it's here. And I went. And I first started taking jazz, and then it was my sanctuary. It was literally how I got away from all of the shit that was happening in my life.
Yes.
And it was just, it was such a lifesaver. It just literally saved my life. I mean, I was a mess. I was really in a place of unworthiness, just traumatized as a child. Like I said, of those kinds of things that you just can't understand. You don't understand what's happening around you. There was just a lot going on. And when I think back about all the things that were happening, that's the only thing that I could think of that really saved me. That really saved me. It was like that. I knew, you know, everybody around me was getting pregnant. You know, there's all these things happening. And I knew I can't get pregnant because I can't dance. If I'm pregnant, I can't. That's what I told myself. I can't perform. I can't. This is because this is my way of escaping. Mm-hmm. Of getting weird. If I get pregnant, I can't. So it was my birth control. It was everything. You know, it was you know, people around me were like, how is this happening? How is she one of the ones that this is not happening to her? And so I used it. It was also a way for me when I left to go. It was how I got to school. The board chair of the dance school, the Performing Arts Center, actually literally helped me do my, I did my applications and I hadn't heard back, and her daughter went to University of Pittsburgh. It was like some kind of, you know, intermingling, and she helped me make sure that I got to school. She was like, no, you have to go to school. And they gave me my first book scholarship, my dance school, my performing arts school. I didn't really, you know, everything else was from the university. I didn't know anything about that. You know, first generation, pretty much college. And just didn't know how this whole process went. I paid money to, or got some kind of a voucher to, you know, get the money waived for my registration. But I didn't know that I still had to pay a room or a housing fee.
Yes. And
the board member paid the housing fee. So she called. And I said, Miss Mamie. Her name was Mamie Nichols. I'll never forget it. R.I.P. I looked her up last year, and I said she was passed. She, I said, Miss Mamie, I don't, I'm supposed to go to school, and they said I got accepted, but I don't know what else to do. I don't know where I'm staying. I don't have a, I don't know what, do I just go and they give you a dorm? She said, oh, baby, hold on. And she said, I'm going to call you back. And she did some miracle, and she got on the phone. I think she paid my $150 room deposit because she was like, no. And they called me back, and they said, I'll never forget it. They said, okay, we have a room for you. We're calling to give you your stuff. Whatever she did, she worked at Magic, and she told them, y'all going to have to carry her through this. And then I said to the lady, oh, fantastic. And she gave me my room number and what hall I was staying in. And she said, I said, who's my roommate? And she said, you don't have one. It's a single dorm. I said,
oh, wow.
Now, you have to know, because you know, I know you know, but I have to tell everybody listening to this podcast that I have four sisters and one brother, but the four sisters are who I grew up with living with me. So it was five, six people in my house, two bedrooms. We always shared a bedroom. I never had any privacy, never had my own space. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you know? Wow.
So for me, dance did all of that. This is my part of my evolution. It did all of that. And that, from there, opened the gates that I was no longer trapped in this space. I did not have to be trapped. So here we go. Revolution, evolution is happening. And once I left, you know, Pittsburgh, I didn't go, you know, to a traditional dance school. I went there and I danced. And while I was there, I danced with an African drum and dance ensemble. I took classes in Dunham. I took classes in, you know, I was an Africana studies. It became an Africana studies major and urban studies major. And it was part of everything that I did. I did theater. That's how I got to travel to, you know, for the first time ever out of the country.
Wow.
To England and Scotland, to the Edinburgh Festival. And I got to see how, oh my gosh, the Edinburgh Festival in Scotland, just to see what the performing arts, how it was revolution, how it, how people were using it for social change and social messages, and not just, you know, dancing swans on a stage. And it was just, it was, I mean, it was so expansive when I think about the imagery of what I saw there. I came back, I started a dance association there, Black Dance Workshop there in at Pitt, and I specifically was Black Dance Workshop because when we would go to the other dance clubs, organizations on campus, they were all, you know, pretty much white. It was like maybe the one, like, you know, because the University of Pittsburgh is a predominantly white institution. And so created space. It really was about not separating ourselves, but creating space for us to have movement that was our, that was ours. And that's not trying to emulate anything else. Us doing Dunham and African dance and tap and hoofing and all these facets of dance that came out of African people in America. It's just, you know, so explosive, so expansive. The Pearl Primus and Catherine Dunham's and, you know, Jeffrey Holder's. And we got to the dancing at Pitt. I had opportunities every year to go to the International Conference of Blacks in Dance at in D.C. And I wouldn't have been able to go to those conferences. I should say I wouldn't have thought that I could afford it because those clubs paid for us to go. And Shona, my dance mentor, dance mom, she was the one that, you know, made sure we went to those conferences. And that was more exposure. That was more of us seeing our people, our beautiful people dancing across the stage, doing things I could, I'm with their bodies that were just, I just, like I said, and speaking and really messages in the movement, the messages, stories of the politics, the socialization, the sensuality, the sexuality, all of the, just so expansive of who we are on a stage, was just, you know, what we were exposed to going to those conferences. I mean, it had everything from African ballet to, you know, American ballet to, you know, just everything, Afro-Caribbean, all of that. And just really seeing that, that was that expounded on me more. Like, this always had to be that magnitude and solidified for me that I dance always had to be a part of my life. Even though I was a now an Africana studies major or a different kind of major, that I still had to always find a way, because this saves me. It can save other people.
Wow.
And you know, once you leave college, you're always trying to save the world.
Yes.
So I was going to save the world through, you know, Africana studies and dance, and in particular, dance from the African perspective. And flash forward, that's when, you know, I left school, and that's when we met. I was now here in Orlando, had graduated, was about to get married, and, you know, it's so interesting because I remember that class. I remember that class, and I remember who I was as a teacher then. And how, you know, as a 43-year-old woman right now, how crazy that must have been to anybody. Just like, you know, I was this 22-year-old dance teacher. And at that time in the 90s, you know, in the late, this is now late 90s, dance teacher was still very traditional.
Yes.
You got on it. You taught with such, you know, in that whole fame kind of way. That was, that Debbie Allen was not acting. That was real. That is how it was. That's how it, you know, still is in a lot of places. It was about you get in here when you get, it was tough. It was you, you know, you had, you didn't, your feet, your legs hurt, your body hurt, but you just, and I was that teacher. I was that teacher. I remember going to that class now that I think about, like, you know, and I remember how y'all were like, she is just intense.
She's crazy. What is she trying to do to us? This is not a, we're just trying to like have fun.
And move our bodies. And she is, you know, and it hadn't occurred to me at that point. It still hadn't occurred to me that people were coming to dance to have fun and to feel good and to just learn and do something different, do something with their bodies. I still was in, no, you came here to dance, and my job is to make sure you leave here with movement. My job is to leave, make sure you leave here with some choreography. That's what I learned.
Yes.
I still hadn't figured it out yet. I still, you know, because I'm coming from the dance world where the dance clan is in full effect. So imagine at these conferences, every dance clan from every walk are at these conferences. So you're dancing with the best of the best of the best. These are the clan, the dance clan, the people who were born into or gotten into, who made it, who were, you know, just all of these things. So, you know, I'm looking at y'all like, what? This is nothing. You know? And I remember overhearing, one of the children coming to me. It was, children are so sweet. They're so, so beautiful. And one of the children said, who loved me, you know, the children loved me. The children were like, she's just another crazy dance teacher, you know, just to them, you know, because we're all crazy, you know, to the children. And it's just their norm, you know, when they come in and they go on the dance class from four. And so they loved me, and they came over to me and he said, Miss Tanita, those women out there said you were hard and mean. And I remember when she said that, and I was so taken aback that I thought it was so cute that she was coming to tell me. I said, oh, honey, it's okay. But I remember it sinking and hearing that, you know, at that young age, still for me, you know, hearing that and going, oh, they think I'm hard. Wow, okay. Whoa, that's intense. All right. And I remember the next opportunity I had, I don't know whether you were there after that. I know, you know, Angela Peterson and the rest of them can't come, but still you come in. And I remember having another class, and they were thinking, they said, that wasn't that hard this time. Like, they almost anticipated. They were like, oh, God, here we go. And I had shifted. I had made a shift. Just from that little nugget that the young, you know, student had given me, I had shifted, said, okay, let me shift here. I had shifted, and they were like, that was, you know, wow, that was good. I was like, I can shift, you know. I just needed to know. It's a knowing, you know, it all speaks to that knowing.
Yes.
And that speaks to a lot of us, you know, really about us knowing, you know, really hearing. That's why assessment is so good, and why it's important for us as healers now, or even in our journey, in our healing journey, to ask questions, to not make assumptions, and to not take it personal, and to really be open to hearing what it is people want when mm-hmm. When they get into, everybody's gonna come want something different, but something that's, they want the big thing is the same, but in the way that they need it, it's going to be very individualized and very, much a fingerprint for each person. So, not that we're going to be able to go, okay, this person needs this and this person needs that and this person needs this, so how am I going to do this all in one class? But just understanding where they're coming from, having heard that little bit of information was so important on my journey for me to see that I could teach. I didn't have to teach that way.
Mm-hmm. You became open to another paradigm.
Absolutely.
But had you not gotten the feedback, you wouldn't know. And I would guess, because I follow what you're doing now and I follow the classes that you're doing now, and I know there's so much more intuitive movement in your classes now, and that when you enter into one of your classes, you're intuitively picking up the energy, the vibe of where people are at. And I love, and I can pick that up from watching, the different clips of your classes. I'm like, oh wow, she's really tuned into how their bodies need to move for this class. It's amazing. So with that, tell us about Afrofunk Dance Fit and how this has grown into what you're doing now.
So Afrofunk came out of the desire to teach. I now have shifted. And I have to give big ups. Fast forward to Los Angeles. Now you met me. I'm teaching in Orlando, and I have to shout you out on that, because when I was in Orlando, I had now shifted. I was teaching in a more receptive way. People were growing, but I still hadn't totally, gotten that, this chakra thing. You had started telling me about this. You're like, you're bringing up these chakras. Like, you're moving this and this is happening. And I'm like, yeah, girl, but we just doing this move. Like, this came from, this came from Senegal. This came from Mali. I'm still on this other thing. And really not connecting the medicine part.
Yeah.
Only so much as to say, you're going to feel good when this is over. And so, you tried. And I was like, yeah, chakra. And and then fast forward, I moved to LA, and I get to LA, and now this is the part. I get to the YMCA, because I decided when I left Orlando, I wasn't going to teach for a while. I was just going to be a student. Mm-hmm. Because now this is one for the people is for our listeners is those moments I had, the overwhelm of being an artistic director of a dance company, performing all the time and not fueling myself back up and that's what was happening. I was emptying out a lot. And I would get, I was doing the $5 fill up, $5, put $5 in and then drive around and empty again. And then put $5 more back in it. And so never filling up my tank. And so when I got to LA, instead of doing what I would Tanita would normally do, which is, okay, find a tribe, get expansive, start your thing, do your thing. I literally was empty. My tank was empty. I was frustrated. I was even resentful. I was angry at myself for how did I let myself go where I was no longer a student. I wasn't learning, growing. I'm looking around at all these different people who are now growing outside of me. And I just had this whirlwind of, what am I going to do now? So I just decided to stop everything and become a student again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started going to, dance classes. I'm going fast forward. I go to this dance class. I'm in it. I'm a great student. I know how to just tune everything out, watch, see, learn as far as dance steps are concerned and things like that. Picking it up. And this woman comes to me after class This white woman comes up to me after, I have to tell the story like this because Linda laughs every time I tell it. She came up to me after class and she's like, hi. And I'm like, hi, how are you? But and now I can talk. I'm like, I'm friendly. I just don't talk during class. She had told my dance teacher, she had told the dance teacher that. She's like, this woman is very serious. She doesn't talk. And I'm like, when I'm in class mode, I don't talk. I just learn. So I was like, I'm good. And we're talking. She said, you know, where do you live? I said, oh, you know, I said, well, I got to go already home, all the way home. She said, well, where do you live? I live in Glendale. I live in Glendale too. We, you know, went back and forth. And I'm like, shut up, you live in Glendale. She said, you know what the Y there? You know, you remember, do you know Darcelle, who Darcelle is? And I looked at her and I said, I said, do you mean Darcelle from Solid Gold? And she goes, yes, Darcelle from Solid Gold. I said, Solid Gold is a 70-80 show, Solid Gold. She's like, yes. He's like, she teaches at the YMCA. And I'm like, okay, this is exactly what I said in my mind. I was like, this white woman don't know what she's talking about. I know Darcelle teaching at, no, Glendale YMCA, but not my idol. Blah, blah, blah. She doesn't know anything. Fast forward. I go to the YMCA. I walk in, and Darcelle Linda, who's now my friend, she's walking down the step. Darcelle Linda and Jonathan walking down the step. And I, my mouth drops, face is cracked on the ground. I'm like, I can barely talk. Because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yes. Just imagine anybody when you were a child that you watched on TV that you... I'm like, I can barely talk. Darcelle is cracking up. Linda's like, but I told you. And I'm like, be quiet. Like, I don't hear you right now. I'm talking, like, what is going on here? And anyway, long story short, I'm taking her class. Mm. Now I'm taking her class. She is teaching at the Y. I'm taking her class. And I learn about her healing journey and this whole thing. Oh, my God. Mm. That's just a whole nother thing, how she got from that to that to there where I was. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. Who gets to do that? Who gets to do that?
Wow. Anyway,
so I'm dancing. And finally, she was the one who came to me and said, you need to start teaching again. Like, I know this is, you know, I'm dancing with her. I'm performing with her. I'm doing choreography with her. But she was like, you got to start dancing again. Like, you got to start teaching again. People need it. And so I started out with this African dance fitness. And I want you to know, Linda also, who's my dear, dear friend, my Shusha, Linda, we became really, really close friends. I'll never forget, like I said, just her, like, anyway, that connection. But I started teaching African dance fitness. I was looking for, where are the African people? Where are the black people? Where is in my neighborhood? Where are they? Why don't they need healing? Where is this? And Darcelle was how I began, taking her classes was how I began. I expanded more on. Now I'm starting to make connection with what you were saying. Because I'm taking, and now I'm the student. So now I'm you. And now I'm going, my body feels like this. My body is like this. This is happening. This is happening. Something else is happening here. This is my healing. Look at these older people. I mean, seasoned people were in her class. And I'm thinking, and I'm looking at her. And now I'm making a connection between living and dancing, healing and dancing. Just I'm making connections. Now I'm a mom. Now I'm a, you know, now I'm all these connections between dance and evolution, revolution, and what it can mean for your body. So when I go into teaching, now I'm teaching with, we need this healing. We need this thing. What's happening? And I'm also teaching thinking, okay, everybody else is going to come to that class. But when I teach the African dance class, the other folks are going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Girl. Everybody else came to my class. Everybody else came to my class. Latin, Asian, Armenian, like everybody else came to class. The black folk walked past my class and went to Zumba. Girl, I was just like all in my feelings hurt and just like, what is going on here? And so that's another story for another time. But yes. How do I teach, you know, in African dance when you so in traditional African dance, you know, there's you're teaching, you know, a lot of our sacred stuff, a sacred information, sacred things that are, you know, specific songs and, you know, traditional connections, forms, meaning, and sacred stuff, things that I'm very protective of because it gets muted and it gets you know, watered down or changed or shifted. And so I'm very protective of, you know, meanings and connections. And I that was a conflict for me. I was trying to figure out how am I going to do this, because exploitation. I didn't want our culture, our tradition to be exploited, you know, our stuff to be exploited. So how do I do this without exploiting our traditions and our culture, you know? And so that's how Afrofunk Dance Fit came. It was born out of, look, you can pull from these places and spaces and all of the stuff that you've learned over the years. And it can, you can use those, and it doesn't have to be in this order. Because that's how you learn traditional African dance. It has to be this way. This rhythm goes with this dance. And that is for a reason. That serves a purpose. And this comes from this region. Well, now with Afrofunk, it's fusion. So you might get a Mali move with a Senegalese move with a Guinea move all in one combination. And I didn't have to call it anything. It didn't have to be a Kasa, a Kuku, a Lamba. But now it was just Afrofunk. And on top of that, the expansiveness came with how is this healing you? So the messages in the movement came. And that is the part that's Move, Dance, Live. How the stories for how it's told. So Afrofunk Dance Fit is the fusion of your experience, your dance experience, your African dance experience, your Afro-fusion dance experience, your Afro-Caribbean dance experience, your hip-hop experience, your ballet, your modern, how these things are fused together to form that technical, what I call technique of a fusion, of Afro-style fusion, fusing those things. So that's there. So people get the groundedness of African and Afro-Caribbean, of coming from an African source, the groundedness of it, and can connect with that. You get the rhythms. Afro-funk is also the rhythms, the music, the beats, the Afro beats, the Afro, the Afro-funk, the Fela Kuti, the, you know, all of, you know, the Makossa, those rhythms from back in the day, and the ones fast forward with, you know, Iyanla and Davido and all of these, you know, newer Afro beat, you know, music, and the music in between our music, you know, Michael Jackson and Prince and James Brown and, you know, all of those different, when you listen, I mean, it really, Afrofunk is really its own journey through how African dance, African music, has the language has woven itself in all of what's happening. Justin Timberlake, so much of his music is taken from those bottoms are Burkina Faso rhythms and Guinea rhythms and Ghanaian rhythms and it's in there. Him and Timberlake did, you know, some amazing stuff. A lot of it, like I said, comes from those tribal, you know, the old school African rhythms. And so that's what Afrofunk is, that part. The Move, Dance, Live method is my method of chakra using movement to activate those chakras, using movement to connect with the properties that the chakras expound on. That you know, we define it in chakra and spirit, but really, what are those concepts and how do we open ourselves up to them? Love, you know, peace. Yeah. Joy, happiness, soul space, self-love, courage, focus, discipline. And so the Move, Dance, Live method is connecting the message and movement, is, you know, telling our own story of healing, of alignment, of attunement. Because we ain't always healing. You know, this time we need to, like, you know, some people, you know, we like healing all the time. Listen, sometimes we got it. We are healing. We got the healing on. Now we aligning ourselves. Now we are tuned. Yes. We good. We just need to go into, because when we stay tuned up and in tune and are into, you know, like you talked about that intuitiveness, when we're in tune, man, if we're resonating, resounding, our inner crystals are moving and twinkling, and we're tuning ourselves up even more. And now we're more open, more expansive, and elevating, and all of that stuff. So, yes. that's what's happening.
That is wonderful. You know, one of the things that I mention in my meditation classes, often I'll say, you know, there's several ways in which to move stagnant energy. And we can shake, we can rub, which or massage. You know, we could stretch. You know, and so what I'm like, when you put that all together, you're dancing.
You're dancing.
When you're shaking parts of your body, when you're stretching parts of your body, when you are rubbing or sweeping parts of your body, you are dancing, which means you're moving stagnant energy, you are activating and attuning to what you just said, to not just the crystals within, but without. We are micro of the macro. So,
and when it's healing. When you connect that with awareness and mindfulness and really being like, this is my intention here and this is what's happening, then you're living.
Yes.
Now you're living, right?
Yes.
And so that's what the move, dance, live movement is about. That's really what it's about. That's what that, you know, method is about. That's what that the whole movement for me is about. Is, again, I am trying, my thing is, how do I get people to move by any means necessary? What do I have to do? Because once we're moving and once we're dancing, we're healing, we're attuning, we're aligning, we're living.
Yes. And I think the other piece too, as we kind of come to a close, is all that you just talked about was this last portion that you just said, when we're dancing and we're moving and you're getting people and we're aligning, I feel like too, we're remembering that we're all connected, that there really is no separation, that there we are all connected. So regardless of culture, race, or ethnicity, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because when we start moving, the energy, we can feel our connection
with
and the person next to me, and then not just the person next to me, with source, with someone across the country. Like, you begin to feel the connection. It's like the Avatar movie and the roots that go under the ground and that whole concept about you can just sit and the roots and we're all connected. We feel our web. And when I'm shaking and moving over here, that is a ripple on that web, and that web covers this entire planet.
Absolutely.
And we feel
that's what I say we feel it, because our dance is our prayer, our song, it's language. That's why I chose Afro style, because it's language for Afro funk in particular, because of the language. And that's the expansiveness. That's what I got out of developing this movement. That's what came to me, especially this move from Orlando to Los Angeles, that, like I said, this movement came out of, how do I do this without sweating? But then it became, how do I do this so everybody gets what they need?
Yes.
And so we're all on this dance floor. And like you said, women, men, African, Europeans, whatever, wherever you're from, wherever your walk is, we all can connect on this universal language of that this movement, this source of energy, this source of light, this source of elevation, we can connect with that. That doesn't have anything, that don't have all that other stuff. That is just human stuff, spirit stuff, it's source stuff. That's the thing that when we peel away this skin and we peel away these bodies, that's the stuff that's still there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We return to our species of light.
Yes. Yes.
We're all species of light. So.
Stardust, baby. Yes.
So tell us what's next. What's on the horizon for you? What are you getting ready to do?
I had one certification last year. I'm doing my second annual Afro Funk, so certified Afro Funk dance instructor and move dance lift. So two different trainings happens at the same time. When you get Afro Funk certified to be an Afro Funk instructor, you also get the move dance lift method, but you cannot do that part. You can already come to the table like, I got my thing that I do. But then you can get the move, dance, lift method, because move, dance, lift method really helps instructors take their teaching and instruction to another level, connecting it with the chakra, connecting it with spirit, how to fill people out, connecting message and movement, you know, taking it from the level of we're burning calories, we're moving, you're dancing, you know, from that class that you had in Orlando to now, this is what we're doing with it. This is how we rock in spirits. This is how we're connecting as people. So that's happening in May, May 18th to the 20th. And then I'm doing, I'm working on some things. I'm doing a retreat, a cultural and the performing arts exchange and retreat in Ghana in this September. And I'm just super excited about that. How to use dance for social change. How we're using our performing arts, period. Cultural arts, performing arts, healing arts for social change, and really how the revolution is in your body, how it starts in your body with this movement, with these performing, with the we are it. And so that connecting that and just continuing on in this journey, being open to all these different pathways and channels, doing more corporate wellness, more more presentations, more classes throughout, and I'm working on some online stuff so that, you know, people who can't come or I can't get to, they can still get to me, they can still find me, and I'm breaking out of that whole like it's gotta be, I gotta touch on stuff because I like to touch, you know, I like to, but I also am aware, I have compassion that this movement is bigger than me and my stuff, and that, you know, people need it. And so we're working on an online, you know, getting an online training and classes going so that people all over the world can, you know, be part of this movement.
Beautiful. So how can people get connected to you if they want to learn more about the certification? Like, what's the website, or like,
they
how can do they
go
reach
to,
you?
They can do the contact sheet on www.mooddanceliv.com.
Okay.
Or they can just email me at mooddanceliv@gmail.com. They can just email me and say, I'm interested in the certification. I'm interested in more hearing about whatever. I'm interested in being on your mailing list. I want a class. I want a training out here. I want you to come and work at my, wherever it is. I love to travel. So awesome. You know I do. You know I go wherever.
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay. We're going to Australia. Okay, let's do it. How do I, what do we do?
Yes. And I'll be sure to have your information on the write-up.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
On the different podcasts. So thank you so much
Thank you for being part of my journey.
It's awesome. So thank you so much, listeners, for listening to another episode or show of Soul Time Talks. And I look forward to you joining us again next time. So thank you, Miss Tanita.
Yes.